Amen. That's true, isn't it? Like Brother Jim was saying, look at the world, look around. What are you going to have confidence in? Where's your strength? Where is our strength? What keeps us going? I'll tell you what, we're going to find out this morning. If you don't know now, hopefully by the time we're done this morning, you're going to know for sure where your strength comes from. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can come this morning and assemble with believers, people who have the same faith, who have the same Lord and Savior, who have the same God. We worship you, Father. And Lord, this morning we want to humble ourselves to a place where you can speak to each one, Lord, that not just to hear the words that I'm going to say, but that they will hear your voice speak through the words, Lord, and make it personal to each one. Let each person, when they leave here, know what you said to them personally. We're not looking for a sensation or anointing. We're not looking just to have a wonderful time, but we want to hear what you said. Speak. Lord, speak. It's called revelation. We need revelation. You build your church. You do everything through revelation, Lord. Reveal yourself. Show yourself. Strengthen your people. And Lord, we know that if we'll humble ourselves, and you will. So we ask, Lord Jesus, to just help each one, deal with each one, Lord, to come to a place of humility this morning, that you can speak and we can hear and grow and love you more than we do now. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I think this is the last message I'm going to be speaking on, discerning the Lord's body. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 11, you can read out of there. Of course, I've thought of that before about certain things I was preaching about, and God brought a whole bunch more, but right now I think we're going to finish it up. I don't know. We'll just see, but we want to speak again on discerning the Lord's body, so we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You may be seated. Thursday, we spoke on humbling yourself so that he can exalt you. Cast your cares on him. I tell you what, just turn to Peter. We're just going to read out of that. 1 Peter. You might as well read it instead of me just quoting it to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So we look at this, and the problem, of course, is we want to exalt ourselves, and we don't. It's not like we want to be puffed up on a big shot. I want to be whatever. But the way we exalt ourselves is we put ourselves in a position that we want to be in the body of Christ, and say, this is who I want to be. This is the reputation I want. This is the way I want people to think about me. And if you don't, I'm going to get all tore up. That's called exalting yourself. I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to be preached to a certain way. I want to live a certain holiness standard. I want to make sure that people see me in this light. And if I don't do it, oh, I'm all tore up, and I had to defend myself, and I had to make sure that I'm doing living the life I want to live. And by the way, this also includes you better run the church the way I think a church should be run, because I know all about what the Bible says about it. That's exalting yourself. How many people know how to run the church? Should I tell you how many people in here know how to run this church? One. His name is Jesus Christ. But yet,
We get the devil will come to us and give us all kinds of thoughts about what is this going on? What's happening here? What's this all about? Why is this person doing this? Why is she having that attitude? What's going on? How come this is falling apart? Where is all this? What is going on? And we get on to our what? We are exalting our idea about how a church should be run, what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. And he says, humble yourself. Then I can exalt you. I can put you in the place that I want you to be. I can put you in a place of rest. I can give you a rest in the midst of your trial. I can place you there in the body the way I want, with the character I want, with the gifts on display that I want. I can run this church. But when you don't humble yourself, you cannot cast your cares on him. I'm just preaching what I did Thursday night, get everyone caught up. If you do not humble yourself, you cannot cast your cares on him, because you're still caring for yourself. But when you cast your cares on him, I humble myself and say, God, however you want to do this, however you're going to take care of this problem, whatever you want to happen, I throw my cares on you. And he will strengthen you. He will lift you up. He cares for you. What else has to happen before we start really believing that God really cares for us? God really loves us much more than we love ourselves. Boy, that's a hard place to go. Because our human nature says, no, I need to control this situation. I need to take care of this. I need to defend myself.
Let me read this one. He said, worry has no virtue to it at all. No, just skip worry and accept faith. Someone says, well, now what if you're going to be shot in the morning? Wouldn't you worry? He said, I don't think so. Well, why? He said, worry wouldn't do nothing but make me worse. You hear what worry does for you? It makes you worse. Because once Satan gets that going in your mind, what are you going to do next? You might as well go get drunk. Just kidding. But brother and sister, once you get that going in your mind, brother and sister, Satan's got your mind. I shouldn't have said about getting drunk. I'm sorry. Worry couldn't do nothing but make me worse. Well, what good would it do if you have faith? He said, it might deliver me. That's right. See, worry has no virtue to it at all, but faith has all virtue. Believe. Believe. Worry and faith don't work together. So what am I going to do when something's going wrong? I'm going to get all tore up. I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to try and fix this. I'm going to try and figure this out. I got this all going. And instead of humbling myself and let him exalt me, I'm going to care for it myself. He said, stop caring for it. That doesn't mean you don't love people, not you're concerned about people. You're not praying for people. That's not it. Worry is different than that. All right? We're all cut up from Thursday night. Let's keep going. Turn to John. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So let me just say, brother and sister, any spirit, any religion, any preaching, anything that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is an antichrist spirit. That's what John said.
It's an antichrist spirit. It's not just, well, they just believe it different. Well, they just aren't quite up with what we are. It is an antichrist spirit. And it's not what's coming out of the mouth. It's what you are confessing with the spirit inside you. It's antichrist spirit. And Brother Brandon said, we're supposed to discern and withstand that spirit. That's why when someone says, well, you don't need to listen to preachers, recognize that that is an antichrist spirit. And we are to withstand that. But that's not what we're talking about this morning, so let's keep going. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Excuse me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is the most profound statement that you can find. And it's one of the hardest to believe. Because you see your weaknesses. You see your failings. You see your mistakes. And you say, if God is in me and he's so much greater, why do I keep making these mistakes? Why do I keep worrying about things? Why do I have these fears? Why do I have this weakness? Why do I have these besetting sins? If God is greater... What's going on? Why? I believe I'm born again, but I still struggle with this and I still struggle with that. I still have these problems. Well, are you impatient? You want instant Superman status? It's called growing up. And we're not growing up to be a holy person. We are growing up to have a love affair, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look, the holiness is a result of you walking with Christ. So many times we get that backwards. We say, if I can live good enough, I can walk with Christ. You got it backwards. You get a relationship with Christ, and the result is you will live a holy life. Glory to God. Satan loves to twist that around so that when you make mistakes, you get all discouraged. You say, oh, how can I be born again and do this? The question is, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what you look for. Satan loves to get that mixed up because he can weaken you in your mind. You say, well, if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ and I love him, won't I quit doing these things? Yes, you will. Well, then how come I'm still doing it? Because you just need to love him more. Just keep growing. And that's why we come to church. Because we're finding out, brother and sister, to come to church is a place where it's a great place to grow. Because what does it do? It exposes the unbelief. It exposes the doubt. It exposes where we have a wrong mind about these things. Get rid of that stuff. You find that there's rest. Greater is he that's in you than all the other stuff there is. Anything in the world, greater is he. Whatever he wants to do through you, he can do it. But you got to humble yourself. Because see, if I really believe he's greater and he's in me, then I can trust him. I can trust him. But when we get to a place where we're not trusting him, it just shows that we just need more growth. We just need a closer walk with Christ. Let me read you something here. I've read some of this the other. I might have read this before. I'm gonna read it again. I don't know. It's in Go Wake Jesus. He's talking about the disciples. They should have known, these disciples, that he was the Messiah. The word Messiah means the anointed one. See, he had all God in him. God was in him. He said, Jesus, the Son said, I do nothing in myself but what I see the Father do it. The Father dwelleth in me. See. Now, if he was Messiah by that, with that anointing, made him fully Messiah, and we, with the same spirit, was upon him, not in portion, but same quality. All right? With a portion upon us would make us like Messiahettes, would be little sons of God, adopted sons of God, and this Holy Spirit will seal us into his body, and we are his children. Is that where you are this morning? Are you a Messiah? He said, there should nothing bother us. Boy, that just brings condemnation, doesn't it? There should nothing bother us. Does anything bother you? Welcome to the human race. There should nothing bother us, nothing worry us. We're His. We are His. If it ain't, well, we're false accusers. We've been testifying of something that's not even so. Did you hear what he said? He said false accuser. Well, he didn't really, the word probably he didn't mean accuser. But we're testifying to something that's not so. If we're not His, if we're not recognizing who we are. I believe it. I believe that now we are the sons of God. Not we will be. Now, right now. And now we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't have any power. We have authority. It don't take power. It takes authority, brother and sister. But if we are worried and we're fretting and all, we are not testifying. Our testimony is not that Christ is in us, that we are His. We're making a false testimony. He said, they should have known by watching what this man did and confessing him to be what he was, the Messiah. They should have known. What about us? We are confessing that we are born again children of God. We are confessing that the greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. But then our actions go out and we make a reproach to Christ. Because we're refusing to humble ourselves. We're refusing to let Him take the headship. We are refusing to let him be exalted in us instead of exalting ourselves. And it's so deceptive. It's so sneaky. See, if Brother Chris jumped up and he said, you know what, I'm going to take charge of this church. I'm exalting myself. Well, we'd probably just laugh. Now, if he was serious, there's a problem, right? But that's not deceptive. That's not how Satan's going to do it. Satan's probably not going to send some other preacher in here and says, you know what? I think I should be running this church. I think I should be the pastor, so I need you to vote Brother Jerry out. Well, that's not deceptive at all. We'd run him out immediately, like, get out of here. What's deceptive? I call it Brother Gene on the phone. Brother Gene, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Hey, I'm not trying to cause any problem or anything. That's a good point that you probably are if you start out with that. I ain't trying to cause any problem, but did you notice how the music in the church is, I'm just not really sure. I don't think Nate should be up there with that guitar. I don't know. I just think, you know what Brother Brandon said about guitar players, and so I'm not sure that he should be our song leader anymore. Well, I'm not trying to solve a problem. I just have a concern. I'm just concerned by the way things are. I think our song service could be better if Brother Nate would just do something different. Because I've been put in charge of taking care of Brother Nate. See, that's what I'm talking about. Exalting yourselves. Our idea, the way we think should be done. If you have a problem with the way Brother Nate's doing something, you know what a really good idea is? Pray about it. Pray to the one who is in charge. Say, God, I'm tired of singing those same old songs. Could you have Brother Nate sing something else? Well, every song leader ever know has their favorite songs. You ask him about it. You want to talk to him. Like, I ain't picking on Brother Nate. I'm just something that's coming to mind, right? So, my point is, are you exalting yourself? We have people in positions, they've been voted into positions in this church by the Holy Spirit. That's their job. If you don't think something's being run right, you go to Brother Jerry and say, hey, listen, I have a concern about this. Just make sure it's a legitimate concern, not just your idea. You can come to me and talk about it. I'll tell you, go talk to Brother Jerry.
unless it's something that I feel the Lord leads me to say. God's in charge. They should have known by watching what this man did and confessing him to be what he was, the Messiah. Then he knew all things. He knew this trouble was coming. He knew all things. What are you going through? Brother and sister, God knew the trouble was coming. The stuff that has happened here, he knew what was going to happen. He wasn't taken by surprise. We're taken by surprise. He wasn't. He's saying that's the way life is. You don't know what the future holds. Try to control the future. You talk about exercise and futility. You want to worry about something? Try to control the future. You have something to worry about because you don't know what's going to happen. Look at the things that have happened that have just shocked us. You say, well, then how am I supposed to face the future if I don't know what's going to happen? I can't control it. There is one who does know the future. And he is going to lead you through the future and past the future and to the next future. And all he wants you to do is say, I trust you with my future. That's what he's looking for, is that kind of relationship. Satan comes and throws, this could happen, that could happen. Oh my goodness, look at the world. What's going to happen? And all he's saying, I got you. I got the future. I know what's going to happen. Can you put that into his hands? Or do you worry? Look, he knows our weaknesses. He knows where to get you. He knows how to stir you up. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows the fear. I'm talking about Satan. Satan knows the fear. He knows where to get you to start doubting, to start thinking about things, to start trying to control situations. You ever have conversations with people before you actually have the conversation with them? Boy, I do. You talk about ridiculous. You just get into like a fantasy where I'm talking to this person because you know what usually is? They have a potential to hurt me. They have the potential to make me feel bad. Maybe it's my boss and I think that she's going to say something tore up. So I'm thinking, well, how I'm going to handle this and how I'm going to handle that and what I'm going to say to her and all this kind of stuff. And then it never happens. Usually it was totally a waste of time, waste of energy, and my mind just got weaker for it. That's the thing that I struggle. Maybe you don't struggle. You struggle with something else. I don't know. But brother and sister, that's what we're talking about. That's the kind of thing God... Why is God bringing this up? Why is it... Because he says, I want you to stop worrying. I want you to trust me. I want you to have a walk with me. You say, well, brother, if I'm worrying, does that mean I'm not a Christian? No, it means that you're a human being. Let me just get on side a little bit, if you don't mind. Y'all read this book? You read about the heroes in here? Have you read about the heroes in here? Abraham, the father of our faith. What did he do? God told him something. Told him he's going to have a child. And Abraham fell on his face in front of God and laughed. And then God said, go here, I'll bless you. And he didn't believe God. And boy, that's a hard statement. He took his family and left because things were getting rough down there. He said, I ain't hanging around this church anymore. There's too much junk going on here. We don't have enough to eat. He got up and left. And then he lied. How do you like him to be your pastor? Oh, Abraham, yeah, we like him to be a pastor. And every time I got up to preach, you think, you lied. Because he was a human being.
See, brother, sister, this is what makes God so great. This is what proves his love. He said, I am going to take flawed human beings, and I am going to manifest myself through them in such a way that you recognize Christ in flesh through that flawed human being. What a, you talk about the grace of God, you talk about love. He could have made us perfect. He could have said, well, you're going to make no mistakes so everyone can see it. But he did it to blind the eyes of those people, those Pharisees, that spirit, that legalist that has to say, I need to see a perfect human being before I have any confidence in him. You show me one perfect human being, one of these prophets in the Bible who is perfect. Brother Branham said Elijah had a nervous breakdown. Think about it. Samuel got his feelings all hurt when they went to the king. He took it personal. Oh, but these are the great prophets. They're human beings, folks. We all have issues. Jesus Christ got old fast. Brother Branham said it many times. He said he was in his early 30s. He looked to be about 50. Why? The toll, the burden he was carrying. Being a minister, brother and sister, you carry a burden. Jesus took vacation. He said, we need to go off. I need to rest. Let's go off into the hills, get away from these people for a while. They're driving me crazy. I added the last part. He had to take a rest. He needed vacation. Brother and sister, you need to take vacation. I think I mentioned this before. I don't know, but my where I work, they're forcing us to take vacation. I think I said something about this. You can only have like 40 hours of vacation past your anniversary, otherwise you lose all that paid time off. They're forcing us to take it. That really hurts my feelings because now I'm forced to take several more weeks of vacation. Boss can't say nothing about it. Hey, I have to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take a week, couple weeks from now. I'm taking a week of vacation, going off to Oregon. I'm still going to have a couple more weeks before April I have to take. Brother, sister, you know what that does for me? It keeps my mind calm. It keeps me settled because if I just go and go and go and go and go, guess what's going to happen? My mind is going to not be able to take it. And if Jesus in that perfect body needed to rest, how much more do you and I need to rest? He knew all things. Father does nothing. Son does nothing except. I'm sorry. Father does nothing except he shows the Son. See? So he knew all things. They should have known that he understood that storm was coming and knew what would happen. They should have known he knew that storm was coming. He knew what was going to happen. But when something happens, what do? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what's going on? This is something else. Another bad thing has happened. Oh my goodness, how are we gonna deal with this, Brother Phil? I don't even know if I can go to church anymore. I'm so tore up. He said, he knew what would happen. It was only given as a test of their faith. And maybe these troubles is only done, maybe the revival has led up to see what we'll do about it. We go through cycles. He said families go through cycles, churches go through cycles. You have a revival time, then you go down through a valley and you go to church and nothing seems to be happening. Then all of a sudden you come back out of that and you're flying high again. Oh, we're having great service. And then it goes back down and it's like, oh. What is it? It's a test of your faith. Where is your faith? What is the anchor in? Because we sing and shout a lot at church? I hope not, because a lot of times we don't sing and shout a lot at church. Sometimes you come in here on Thursday and it's just everyone's just struggling to stay awake and you're preaching. And you're preaching and you know you see people's eyes are just doing this all, you know, it's just crazy. It's always worth it to come. It's never in vain. He said, maybe the rival has led up to see what we'll do about it. Well, this, I don't know, it seems like things are going. Maybe I'll go find another church to go to. Maybe I should do something to liven things up around here. Maybe you should just sit there and listen to the word. Maybe sickness struck you. He said, this cause and not because somebody sinned, but that the work of God might be known. How do we know if these things happen? Nothing happens just commonly. It's not without God knowing it. He knows it. He knew it at the beginning. And these things happen because it's a test of faith. And I can tell you right now with a complete assurance, brother and sister, this church is stronger in faith now than it was 10 years ago. It sure is. All the things we've gone through, brother and sister, has strengthened your faith. It hasn't weakened you. Strengthened you. Well, I don't know if I have confidence anymore. That's your choice. You can choose not to have confidence. What you worried about? We believe these things. We claim these things. But brother and sister, what happens is when we're going through things, when we're going through trials, when we're going through the struggles of being a human being, what happens is Satan gets in our mind where that great battle is going on and it gets us thinking the wrong thoughts. And we act on those thoughts sometimes. You can have those thoughts all you want as long as you don't act on them. Because you recognize that's just Satan's thought. It's just coming through. Let it go. Don't take that. But see what he does. He knows your weakness. He knows how to trap us. And so he lets something happen, and then he puts that thought in there, and we latch onto that. 10 minutes later, our mind is just going in a whirl. He's a sneaky old devil. All right. I've said all that to get to the point I want to make this morning. If you turn to Colossians. First chapter of Colossians. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who is this being who created everything? Principalities, powers, he created his own enemy. Anything that has power, the spirits, anything there, God created it. And created it for himself. He controls it all, brother and sister. He's got it all in control. Nothing happens that he doesn't know about. And then it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence, the leadership. He is the head of the body, which is the church. Talking about discerning the Lord's body. Brother, sister, he is the head of this body. We are this body. The church is his body. The real church, not just a nominal church, but the real bride of Christ is his body. It's his church, and he is the head. You say, well, you said that three times. I'm going to say it a lot more. Brother, sister, he is the head, and he is the word, and the word is the headship of the body. And it's not when it's just on the page, but when it's manifested. He is always the word. He always manifests the word. That is the headship of the body. That's why you got to get it right, brother and sister. That's why you have to preach the correct word, the word for this day. But like we read the other day, Brother Branham said, a preacher can preach a message. You cannot put a thing on it. You can't put a figure against it. He said, but where is God? So just because a minister gets up and preaches what is true, he preaches a correct message, does not mean that's in the hedge, that is the word for that day. That because if it's not manifesting God, if it's not producing Christ, then it's still wrong. What's the problem? That minister is not under the headship of the word. Excuse me. How does that happen? I can get up here and I can preach what Brother Branham preached, and it can be exactly the truth. It can be exactly what the word says. And yet if I am not personally under the headship of the word, then that word will not manifest through this ministry. It will not produce Christ because I refuse in the headship. See, brother and sister, it's a lot more than just having the doctrine right. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we get out of the headship, because we see the body, and everyone in the world who's a Christian, they say, yeah, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the body. I discern the Lord's body. But when you don't recognize the head, when you don't recognize the head, then you are not recognizing the body. You can't separate it. Especially in this age when the body and the head have come together, they have become one. You cannot say, I'm a message believer, but I refuse that headship. That's where we get in trouble. I don't want to accept that. I don't like that. I want to have my own idea. I want to run this the way I want to do it. I don't want that word to be the headship. I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like the way this is happening. Refusing the headship. What drives that? It's fear. If we're in the body, why do we still fear? Why do we still have these things? Fear because we don't want to give up our control. It is about our control. It's about the way we want things to happen. We're afraid God's not going to work it out the way we want, so we need to keep things in control. And that's why you come to church. We're weaning. He's weaning us from these childish things. These childish attitudes, these childish actions, thoughts. He's saying, change the way you're thinking. Change the way you're doing this. How do you do it? By believing him, by putting it into his hands. He is the head. Now, I ain't saying this morning to beat anyone down, to make anyone feel condemned. I want you walking out of here saying, man, I struggle with this. Sometimes I don't accept the headship and all that. This is not that kind of service. This service is you should walk out of here just so joyous and happy, because what we're going to do next is going to put you in a place of rest. All right? Turn to Psalms, the second chapter. Psalms 2, verse 1. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That imagine means to plot or to plan. Why do the heathens rage and the people plan a vain thing? They're putting plans together. They're plotting something. What are they doing? He said the kings of the earth set themselves. They come together. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What is he talking about? They're saying, we are not going to be under the headship of the word. We are not going to accept this ministry. We are not going to do the things the way we want. We are going to be the head of the body ourselves. We do not like the way he's running the church. Let me just put this into 2016 message believers, so-called. Why does a message minister rage? And why do the people in the pews imagine a vain thing? They set themselves together. The rulers take counsel together saying, against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, I don't have to listen to that preaching. I don't have to go to that kind of church. I can do what I want. I don't believe it that way. I don't see Christ manifest in that. I want to see power and lightning and thunder, and I want to be anointed, and I want a different kind of church service. And I want to have a ministry that I can really look up to and admire because they're such a mighty, well-known person. I'm not going to have someone like Brother Phil preach that way to me. It's going to have to be someone like Brother Donnie because he's got a bigger reputation. I'm not going to humble myself to some little nothing. See, that's what we get. That's why so many people go to that church in Jeffersonville, because there's a name up there that they say, oh, I can humble myself to that ministry because of his name. That's the spirit. And we just saw, brother and sister, that is an antichrist spirit. Because it's not discerning. It's not recognizing the Lord's body in the place God has put you. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Brother Jerry, I think I need to give you a little advice about how to run the church. I think you need to do something. You need to treat Brother Paul a little different. I don't like the way he's dressing, and you just allow him to sit there dressing like he still looks Amish. I think you need to really have counseling with him and get him to shave that beard and start dressing like the rest of us. Look how many people used to come to this church. And they left for that, not Brother Paul. They left because they don't like the way things were being run here. That is fulfilling this scripture today. That's a horrible place to be. Refusing the headship. And what Satan will do, and he's tried to do it here lately, brother and sister, is he will get you to look at the flesh of the ministry so you lose confidence. Amen. That's true. Well, how could Brother Jerry really be a real pastor and going through the things he's gone through and suffering the things where he had a good place he couldn't even preach anymore? Why did Elijah go out to the backside of the desert and sit back there and get all depressed and suicidal? You want to listen to him either. God had to send him birds to feed him to get his strength back. He come walking up here, and you would say, oh, I don't know, I think Elijah lost his calling, because you know what? He can't even keep his head on straight. What you looking at? You want to look at faults? Let me stand in front of you and start telling you some of mine. You'd all get up and walk out. I'd go with you. But if you can look past the human being, can you see Christ? Can you see the word having the effect that it's supposed to be having? That is what matters. That's what counts. Can you see past the human being and see Christ in flesh, in the leadership, leading the body of Christ? That's the question he has for you this morning. Or do you look at the flesh? Do you look at your own flesh? You say, Brother Phil, I want to believe that, but I got so much flesh. Would you stop looking at your flesh? Oh, I'm going to try again, Brother Phil. I'm just encouraged. I'm going to try again. Just stop. God did not ask you to try again. Well, I tried so many times and I failed. I keep trying. I keep failing. And I just don't know how I have any strength to try anymore. You're getting to the right place now. God never asked you to try again. It ain't about trying again. If you try again, you will fail again. Try again. I'm going to try to be a Christian. I'm going to try this again. I'm going to just give him my best shot. I'm just going to go. Just did it work before? If it worked before, why are you trying again? Because it doesn't work that way. If you want this, that kind of religion, you need to find a different church where the pastor preaches that kind of religion. There's plenty around the message. And we'll bring you, they'll bring you in there and they'll prop you up. But you're not going to get that here. You're either going to be born again or you're going to be miserable. We're not propping you up. We're not telling you you're a good person. We're not telling you, oh, we sure need you. We're not telling you you just need to try a little harder. We're not telling you just repent every time you come to church. We're telling you get born again and get a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He will do the work. That's what we're telling you. Trust in His word. Let Him be the leader. Let Him be the head of your body. Well, I tried that, Brother Phil. Stop saying try. It's do you believe? Well, I believe, but nothing happened. Oh, now you're impatient. You putting God on a schedule? I did that before. Way back when I first started coming to the church here in Dixon. I looked around people trying to receive the Holy Ghost. I said, you know what? I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost right away and then go about my life. Guess what happened 15 or 20 years later? I was still thinking, I still ain't got it. Isn't that amazing? Put God on a schedule. Tell Him, God, I prayed to be healed. I ain't healed yet. It's been 6 months. Child of Abraham? Father of the faith? Tell you what, you go 25 years. If God don't do it then, maybe you should go with a second time and ask. You shouldn't, because Noah's going to stand there and condemn you. Did He speak to you? What did He say? I'm still convinced so many times people come to the altar because they want Brother Jerry to pray or Rooney to pray so they can feel that anointing. Then they know. Brother and sister, what did He say to you? That's the revelation. That's where your faith is. It's not because you felt something. It's not because you got anointed or you got emotional. It's what did He say? Did He say, I got this? Did He say, you're healed? Did He say, I love you? What did He say? That's what lasts. That feeling will not last. He said, I've been trying to talk to you for years. I've been trying to talk to you for years, but you ignore what I'm saying because you want a sensation. And I give it to you. And you walk with me for a while, or you try to. And then the feelings go away, and so do you. Will you not accept the headship of the word? The word doesn't say it comes that way. But that's the way we want it to come. And so we accept that idea, which is an antichrist spirit. Will you come His way and let Him be the head? Or will you come your way because you don't want to accept His headship? But Brother Phil, if I do it that way, it might take forever. Well, how much time do you want? You got all the way from now to the rapture. But what if He doesn't work it out the way I want Him to? I promise you, He won't. You don't have to worry about that. Don't even question it. He is not going to work it out the way you want Him to. The way you think He's going to. But He's going to work it out perfect if you will just let Him. It will be perfect. It will be worth it all. That song comes to my mind. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our needs and hopes to bear. And it says something like this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Because we try to fix it ourselves. We try to save ourselves. But Brother Phil, you say, don't try. Well, what am I supposed to do? Only believe. Brother Phil, that's too simple. I got to do something. All right. Then keep walking in your misery. But when you're willing to humble yourself, you will only believe. And he will exalt you because he promised to. Believing God's promises is some of the hardest things you're ever going to do. You know that battle in the mind? It's about, do you believe the promise or not? Oh, no, Brother Phil, that's not my battle. My battle is I got too much lust. My battle is that. No, that's not it. Well, I got too much greed, or I got a gossipy tongue. No, that's not it either. Well, I just can't get along with my mom because, no, that's not your problem either. Well, if people would just start treating me better, that's not your problem either. Your problem is only believe. What did God say to you? Well, God ain't never revealed anything to me. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. The only thing God ever said to me is go to church. Well, you got that right now. Okay, you're here this morning. You're in church. Now, if you sit there with the right attitude, he will speak to you again. Can you hear his voice? Will you just believe it when he tells you? Say, I love you. I want you to be born again. Oh, praise God, then I'm going to be born again. What do I have to do? Believe what he said. Believe what he said. You're going to be born again. What's going to happen? Who cares? It will happen before the rapture. After the rapture ain't going to happen. Will you walk in faith when all the evidence is against it? Satan will bring all the evidence and lines it up before you come to church Sunday morning. Say, you think you're a believer, you're going to go and worship God, you hypocrite. Now let's look at what you did this week. And he starts numbering this, especially what you did yesterday. Because if you did it yesterday, you might have repented, but that's not really enough time to be set free from that. I mean, you still have that kind of lingering on you because, I mean, I know the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful, but if you did it yesterday, you can't really expect to have cleansed you by this morning. You say, we don't believe that. We act that way sometime. We act that way. You come to church with that, oh man, last night I just really did something I shouldn't have done, and now I just don't really feel like I can really worship. Yeah, because the blood of Jesus Christ isn't enough to cleanse that sin unless you have a 24-hour period. Is that not the way we act and think sometime? Brother Bram said something like this. He said, talking to a person, he said, you're backslid, aren't you? I'm just totally paraphrasing. He said, backslid, yep. He said, do you want to be back? He said, yes. He said, you are. Oh, my God. Oh, my. It is that simple. You want to be back with God? It's that simple. It's just your desire. I want to be right with you, God. Then you are. You mean I'm born again? Not necessarily, but you're on the right track. You will be if you will just walk in that faith. Someone can be free this morning if you want to. It's your choice. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. All the way to church this morning, Satan was hounding me. And I got almost here, and I was wrecking. I say, Satan really has, he does not want me to preach this morning. And for the first 30 minutes up here, I was just pounding. I felt like I was going uphill. One of the hardest messages I had to preach, just the first 30 minutes here, as far as trying to get something, find out what God wants to say. I was struggling mightily. I got on this subject and all of a sudden it broke free. God is trying to set someone free this morning. God is trying to get you saved. God is trying to get you to stop trying. He's trying to speak to somebody. What did he say to you? Will you refuse his headship because it's not the way you think it's supposed to be? Do you refuse the headship because that's not the way you think it's supposed to happen? His word will have the effect that it's supposed to have. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want it to be religion. He wants it to be just a relationship that you love. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. I went shopping. I was in Kroger. And I wasn't being religious. I wasn't thinking on the things of God as we're, you know, how I'm being sarcastic. I was shopping for produce. And a little song came to my mind. I don't remember what it was. I just started humming it. And just like that, the power of God came there. And I almost couldn't stand anymore. I was leaning on my shopping cart. My knees were buckling. I said, what is this? And I looked around and everyone else going about their business, shopping, getting their peaches and their apples and their celery. And I'm standing there clinging to my shopping cart saying, what's going on? I didn't understand. Why would you do that? What is this? You know, he said, I just want some fellowship with you. I just want you to let you know what's coming. I had a great shopping trip. What was it, brother and sister? He is coming closer and closer and closer. The more you clear your own mind of your own ideas, your own thoughts, he's just that close to you. He wants to step up and say, hey, I'm here with you. I said, well, why don't you do that all the time? Well, one thing, I couldn't deal with it. My flesh couldn't deal with it. I'd be laying on the floor, God. I can't even shop anymore. What's he doing? Sometimes when you're just going through life and all of a sudden everything, there's just a sense of well-being, like things are, God is here. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you do. But when it happens, brother and sister, is when your mind is clear from all that junk. Oh, I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you will. Sometimes I'm at work, I'm driving on the road, and there's just a presence and a sense of everything is good, everything is fine, and yet everything is just the way it was when it wasn't, but now everything is fine. Why? And I recognize this because my mind has been clear, and I'm walking with God, and it's not, oh, I'm praying all the time, I feel anointed all the time. It's just you and God just going through life, being normal. And it gets stronger and stronger. And yesterday when that happened, it was the strongest it's been in that situation. But brother, I want that back. I want to keep my mind clear. I want to keep focused on Christ. I want to live a life that he's ahead. One day, some of the life that's going to happen, we're going to get a body change. It's close. But you got to let him be the head. And when we are trying to control it, he can't be the head. Now I'm going to read the next verse in Psalms 2. And I pray to God, this is not to any of us here. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. What happens? He gives you a space to repent, and you refuse to repent. Your day of calamity will come. Can you imagine what it will be like for those message believers after the rapture who are still here?
because they refuse the headship of the word. And they'll pray. He says, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to hold you in contempt, derision. He said, you wanted your own way? Now save yourself. You tried to save yourself. You sat in that church in Dixon and you tried to save yourself and it didn't work, so you got discouraged. Go ahead and save yourself now. I gave you time after time after time. But you wanted your own religion. You wanted your own way. Now pray all you want, because I ain't listening. Our mind right now cannot fathom the misery that will be experienced by those people. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. All he asks you to do is believe what he's telling you. And Satan's right there, and he's just hounding you. He's saying, yeah, but. Yeah, but. But what did God say? What did he say to you? Look, brother and sister, there's some reason why he keeps staying on this thing this morning. This ain't just me up here. He's trying to get somebody's attention. You're going to hear this again one day. If you miss that rapture, you're going to hear these words come and say, why did you not listen? You could have been in the rapture. And now you're praying and you're going to run to your mom. You're going to run to the pastor. You're going to run to the church. You imagine the people show up at church in that day. You're going to be here. We missed it. You're going to look in each other's eyes. You go, oh my goodness, what did we do? We missed it. Why? Because we refused to believe what he said. Oh, but I believed it. I believed it. No, you didn't. Because you didn't act on it. You didn't believe it. You believed it enough to do it and try again to save yourself. But all he wanted you to do was believe that he would do the work. Now look, if he speaks to you and says, you need to go up front and get prayed for, that's what he said, then you need to go up front and get prayed for. If he speaks to you and says, you need to go out and build a barn, you need to go build a barn. But don't go do it on your own, because this is the way I think it should be done. If he speaks to you sitting there, you don't have to run up to the altar. He already spoke. What more do you want? Want a sensation to go with it. Might as well sit in your seat. You ain't ready yet. When you are willing to humble yourself, that it's just the simple spoken word is going to accomplish this, then you're ready. Then you're ready. But when you want that spoken word with something else, you are hybriding the word. God gives sensations. He gives emotions. Like yesterday, I was standing there. It was a strong sensation. I didn't feel anything physically, but there is definitely a sense there of Christ. I loved it. It scared me. Not a bad fear. So what is this about? But what he said was greater. What he said was greater than the feeling. Because he spoke. If he would have just said that, that's been in his presence, that would have been amazing. You know what it's like to be in the presence of God. But when he speaks to you from that presence, that's. What more do you want? What more could he do? But if you refuse, because it's not the way you think it should be,
because you have a history. And I've tried this and I've tried. Let me say something, brother and sister. I know all about trying. So those of you who have been around here for a while, you've seen me over the years trying and trying. Brother Paul's sitting here grinning. He's seen me be the most miserable so-called Christian there ever was. Trying and trying and trying. I can't tell you how many altars I've been to. So many camp meetings I go to. Trying. But you know something? God could have let me go there. He could have let me go. He would have been just, and on judgment day I stand. God, I tried. He said, I never asked you to try. But you know what he did instead? He sent a ministry that preached all that junk out of me. You know how long it took? A long time. Years. To get to a point, I said, God, I'm not going to try. You promised it. You do the work. And that's when the battle started. Because Satan's not going to give up on you just because you get up. He's going, oh, no, yeah, I'm going to get you to try again. You better start doing this. You better start doing that. You better try hard. You made a big mistake. You're not trying hard enough. Trying to get you to try again. Because then you are usurping headship again. You are saying, God, I got this again. You're not taking care of this the way I need you to, so I got it. Thanks for nothing. You say, I would never talk to God like that. Your actions are saying it. I got this, God. You're not saving me the way I need to be saved. I got this. I'll take care of it. Thank you for nothing. Now, when I got this under control, I want you to come back now. You say, I would never have that attitude. It is the action. Of course, they don't feel that way because the Antichrist spirit is so religious. So gentle and kind, and it so justifies you. Do you hear what he said? That Antichrist spirit justifies you. You have a reason. You are justified for not being saved right now because you tried, and God didn't keep his hand on the bargain. And I'm going overtime again. I told you, you're going to leave here in peace, at rest. So I got one more scripture I want to read. If you would turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Brother and sister, you are not those people in that fourth verse. You are not those people in that whole chapter, I should say. The four verses we read. You are not the ones who refuse, who try to break the bonds. Let me read who you are. Hebrews 12, 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That is you. I'm not speaking just a hope so, just a, oh, that's a nice thing to say. I'm speaking from a manifestation. This scripture is also being manifested today. Because you have not despised the chastening of the Lord. You have accepted. What is it? When a father brings chastening, it's because he's in the head. He's the head, right? He's in charge. And kids accept that headship or they rebel against it. Brother, sister, that's what's happening here. You have accepted the chastening. You have accepted the headship that God has put here. And I sat here and watched it, and it's one of the things that astounds me most about this church is because no matter how hard you preach it, you guys keep coming back. And I know, brother and sister, some of these things tear you up. I've been tore up many times myself. I got an attitude sometimes, and I had like, I just got to quit, or this is too hard. But you know what happens? You keep coming back. If you keep coming back, it's two reasons. Either you're sitting here ignoring what's being said, and you know, well, I go to this church, I don't really care what's being said, I go to this church. Or you are accepting the chastening of the Lord, which means that you are a child of God. Well, I'd rather have a sensation. You think a spanking don't bring a sensation? You need another spanking. It's not the kind of sensation I want, Brother Phil, but it means you're a child of God. Which do you prefer? A sensation that gets Satan can hand out, or something that means that you are a child of God? What kind of sensation do we want? Do we want to take the leadership of the Word and say, if I will just accept this chastening and this scourging, He will deal with me as with a child, as a son, with a daughter. He will deal with me and I will be exercised in it. I will have the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Would you prefer that? Or would you prefer your pride and your sensations? And you get a say in how the church is run. Because the vast number of people take the second option. They want the second option. And one day, he will laugh. You wanted to save yourself? You wanted to choose your own church? You wanted to choose your own pastor? You wanted to decide how you're going to be preached to? You wanted to sit there and pout? Have it your way. Have it your way. But I want everyone of them to listen carefully. I'm going to quit. Look at your life. And recognize that you have accepted the chastening of the Lord. You have. There's your rest. You say, well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of people do. Oh, no, they don't. He said, I couldn't do anything else. Of course you couldn't. You're a child of God. But do you know how foreign it is? Look, I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. When Brother Jerry preached Brother Tim's funeral, he preached, and we sat there and listened. That's kind of normal. You know how many people were scandalized by that? Oh, my goodness, he got personal with people? He made people, you know, brought them up to like, hey, listen, you know, brought it right to their face and said, hey, listen, this is about you. And people were sitting there like, oh, I can't believe what he preached. Why did he have to say those things? That's horrible. And Brother Jim says, if you think that was bad, you should come here and preach at church. See, because for you and I, it's normal. Do you know the average person would listen, would see what's going on here, and they say, there's no way I'm going to church like that. I'm talking about the average message believer. They will not put up with it. But you do. In my mind, I think, what's wrong with you? Go someplace where you're comfortable. Go someplace where they treat you better. Go someplace where you just feel all this loving, warming kind, everything's great. But you come here and we just rip you apart. And you keep coming back. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You've been in connection with the head. You've been in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you find out that you and he are one. You have become one with your head. You can't be separated. You can't even more cut the head off the body of Christ than nothing, because it would kill you. And yet there are so many people who around this message who they see, here's Christ, the head, and here's the body. This is a church, and I had to run this body. Boy, I love you, Christ, but I'm over here running the body. And they would never believe that if you told them. But their actions prove it. But not you. Because no matter how hard Brother Jerry preached, how hard I preach, you come back. And sometimes you sit there, and it might take you 3 or 4 weeks, but finally you come and say, okay, yeah, that's about me. I'm going to accept it. And here you are. And the rapture is this close. And you're recognizing what you are. You are literally the body of Christ. You are discerning the Lord's body. And how do you know it? I'm not just saying that as a doctrine. I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I see the manifestation of it. That is exciting. When you see the word that is spoken happening right here in our midst. We are so close. Just give him full headship. Give him full headship, brother and sister. Don't let Satan kick you out. Don't let him condemn you. Well, I still worry about stuff, Brother Phil. Don't worry about it. Go out here worrying about something. Brother and sister, just get close. Keep walking closer to him. How do you do that? Is you just simply believe what he's saying to you. That draws him closer. How do you please God? By faith. You want him closer to you? You want to have an experience where you're walking through Kroger and all of a sudden his presence is there so strong you can't hardly stand up? Just keep believing him. You'll get there. Some of you are probably way ahead of me. I hope so. That'd be wonderful. I know Brother Neil is. He's ready for the rapture. That's just a side joke. It's not a joke. Brother and sister, he's making it so simple for us. So simple. What did he say to you today? If you had to stand up and give a testimony right now, what would you say? What did he speak to you? Maybe he didn't say anything. That's okay. I sit in plenty of services where he doesn't speak something specifically to me. But when he does speak, recognize that and accept it. That's revelation. That's what you build on. That's what he builds on. Amen? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you come and finally press through, Lord, all the spirits and everything that were trying to hold us back. But Lord Jesus, you came and you spoke what was on your heart. And I'm so thankful, Father. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can trust you. We just stand there in the breach and let you have your way. You come and minister. Oh, how I thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, if you haven't spoken to a heart in here yet this morning, Lord, while we're worshiping, take what was said and speak to someone. Speak to someone. So they can give a testimony. This is what you said to me today. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we love you. How we thank you. How we praise your name. You are so beyond good. Let us walk with you, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, this Jacob who's having a heart problem, I ask that you would touch that. That man, his father, has shown great respect towards you. I believe you will honor that respect. Heal his son. Let him know that it was you. Amen. Brother Brandon was up that mountain in Colorado. And he spoke that storm away.
And then he started walking back to camp, and God said, why don't you walk with me? All God wanted was the prophet to walk with him. That's not asking too much, is it? He said, just walk with me. I just want fellowship. God, I'm trying to live a holy life. I didn't ask that. I said, I want you to walk with me. But God, I go to church and I do this and I pray. And that's all good. Good. Thank you. But will you walk with me? Will you let me be your head? I have to read one more quote. I'm sorry. It just came to me when I was praying. I had to read this. He said, if he's Almighty God, he does all things. If he can't do all things, he's not Almighty God. So I believe him to be Almighty God. So I commit myself to him, my soul to him, my body, my living, my breathing, my dying, my resurrection, and some glorious day he will come. Can you just commit it all to him? What's going to happen tomorrow, Brother Phil? I don't know, my world might fall apart and yours might too. Horrible catastrophe could happen. Are you going to live in fear? But while he's in the coming and his church is in the making, I want to stand in the breach with my arms out and claim his resurrected power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power has never ceased and never will fail. He's the same all the way around. He's still the same. Think about it. He stood one day and said, let there be light, and there is light. And that same one came down this morning and said, I love you. If that spoken word had the same power to create light, can I not create life in you? Can I not take care of all your problems? Brother Branham says, I love him, and I want you to love him. I want you to believe him. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if we still have fear, we just need more love. Oh, if I could just quit worrying, just get more love. Just more love. Recognize how he loves you. He allows us to go through things to test our faith. He allows us to go through things because we're in this fallen age. He allows us to go through things because he knows what we need. But he's got it all in control. If you love him with the right kind of a heart, you won't have one speck of fear whether you can keep his word or not. Find a more profound statement than that. If you love him with the right kind of heart, you won't have one speck of fear whether you can keep his word or not. Because you will make mistakes. It has nothing to do with it. Because you know your love for him is greater than all. Because it's his love. He's got it all in control, Brother Jim.
He's got it all. I in his hand. And every road I walk down, I believe is in his plan. I put my life in his hand.
Love you, Lord.
Love you, my Lord, with all.
Soul, I believe I spoke what God wanted me to say. Now it's on you. It's on all of us. We're responsible for what we say. Amen. And that's good. That's good. Brother Neil, would you dismiss in prayer?